Welcome back to Sight to the Blind. I finally got the guest that I wanted on here. I was getting single people. I was getting people in relationships, but I have not had somebody who or somebodies who were married in this walk. So I'm glad that I finally got a lottery winner. A funny story about that, that I was hoping that I got a married couple. The wife showed me her number. I was like, damn, but that's not the number. And I really was like trying to find a way to get her because I knew she was married, you know, on the show. And then her husband just so happens picked the number, I think like 3 or 4 days after I did the show. So I'm excited. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Matt Kolajacek. This is my wife, Brianna.
Hey.
I know that last name is a lot, so Kolo is fine for sure.
Cool. So how did you guys meet? Did you guys meet before you woke up or you met after you met already and then you found the truth, or did you already know some of the truth before you guys met?
Well, we met before we woke up. I was in college. We both went to University of North Carolina, Tar Heels. And at that time, I was still rooted in the foundation of churchianity. Mm-hmm. But I had a foundation of, you know, the Most High and Yahushua at that time, not the right appropriate names, mm-hmm. But, you know, had that churchianity teachings. But we started there. We had some type of foundation. And then that's what led us, really our first conversation that we had when we hung out, deep. It wasn't a surface level type of thing. We're the best things that, you know, in today's day and age, everyone got their feelings uptight and things like that. So I knew off the get-go that there was substance there. And Yah knew it because he put us together.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like my background is a little different, where I grew up in the church, but I'm not going to lie. Obviously, I'm from North Carolina, mm-hmm. originally born and raised. And so it's been, I don't know, it scared me when I was younger, like, because I saw people, I went to the ones that are like in the garages. It's not like a actual full blown church, versus, you know, him and his family is Catholicism, is Catholic. And so when I went younger during that time, it, like, seeing people speak in tongues and falling out and doing all that stuff, it just, as a youngin', my spirit didn't sit right with it. And I remember I was like so hesitant to express it to my mom. And when I did, I was just like, I can't do this. Like, and then she was just like, she was actually very understanding, where she was like, that's fine. She's like, I want you just to pretty much believe in something, or, you know, don't believe in, she said God at the time, but, you know, like, I'm not going to force you to go to church because, you know, it is an experience.
So then me coming from the church, we met and we're at, you know, different
paths
or different points of the journey, but then through Yah, he stripped us of it all and taught us, you know, the true way. And a big part of that was coming across your page. You know, my wife actually happened to find you because I'm off of social media, and she just happened to send me your page, and I said,
like a video or something.
Yeah, it was a video, and I said, Larry Johnson. I said, football player Larry Johnson. I didn't know he was on the same vibe, because I was already into, like, you know, waking up partially in college, where, you know, about the conspiracy aspects, putting symbols and
posse
and that just brought it out to a whole nother level.
I mean, seriously, our first conversation, this is what separated him from a lot of guys that I talked to, was that I was just surprised that it was so deep. It was very intellectual, you know, coming from, you know, the Bible Belt line, where a lot of my friends called me a heathen because I didn't go to church, which is crazy. And so, and I talked to him and I was just like, oh gosh, like, he's heavily involved in church and I don't know much about Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And so, but when I talked to him about it, he didn't shun me. He didn't like push me away or like scrunch his face up or anything. It was just kind of like, wow. And that's honestly the first thing, you know, I mean, he's fine too, but that's the first thing that he done to
him. Yeah, I got you. That'll definitely make you be like, pause. You know what I mean? Because
right.
You're bringing it together. But it's amazing that you'll be able to wake up during college and put two and two together. Have you had any difficulties trying to share that truth? Before you shared it with Bree, did you share it with your family members first?
I did. And that was during, again, like, more of the conspiracy aspects of just trying to show them what I was coming across, as just far as, like I said, the symbols, what things on the money, you know, things like that. And I was, the spirit was speaking through me then when I would go to my family and speak to it. And they were kind of looking at me a little crazy at first.
They were like, all right, Matt.
But after a while, they started.
For real.
I was that guy.
But like you, it really didn't deter him. And honestly, when he put me on it, like he had me watching, it was this YouTuber that we love, Scrawny to Ronnie. And he was showing me the videos. And I remember sitting, like we were literally sitting in his bed at like off campus at like his, at the house he stayed with the football players. And it was just like, I literally, my heart was dropped so many times where I was just like, what am I watching? Like, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. I literally was like, this is kind of crazy. And then it was like video after video, and it got deeper and deeper. And then I think at one point, like, I literally was like, okay, I need a break. I feel like this is a lie. This world, like, it just, and I feel like to face that reality was hard for me to grasp. Mm-hmm. But I saw it and kind of, you know, wanted to not run away from it. But I just, like I said, it was just, you know, it never stopped him from digging deeper and deeper.
And Bree, during that relationship, before you guys were married, did you have any setbacks with trying to be what Matt wanted you to be, or what the Word wanted you to be, and then still trying to hold on to the world? Did you guys have like a difficult aspect in that relationship, trying to hold on to worldly things?
Yeah,
absolutely.
For me, it goes back like even further. Like I feel like, so Matiahu is my fourth relationship ever in my life. Mm-hmm. And my previous relationships were obviously nothing like I have now. Me and Matthew have been together, what, 12 years?
Wow.
And we married for four.
Okay.
And so I feel like what really, let's see, cheating is like a very obviously hard thing that anybody, I think it's like for women, it's like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like, you know, my first boyfriend, and we're talking like, this is like middle school, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So like, my first boyfriend, you know, he knew I was a virgin. I didn't want to, you know, do anything with him, but he ended up cheating on me. Mm-hmm. And my second boyfriend, and all of this is that all my relationships have also been very long. Like, mm-hmm. I had this rule that I made in middle school. I don't know why. Still to this day, that I said, you know, no man can ever get down on one knee until after being with me for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And because I knew that was like, you put the time in, I want to do this for the long run. And you're talking to somebody whose parents are divorced. My dad, military. So we traveled a lot. And then my mom was just, you know, doesn't want to travel anymore. I think the military life really, really tore them apart. Mm. And so it was one of those things where, you know, my mom's single, but my dad he wasn't there physically, but he was there like financially, like he helped. When I saw him, it wasn't, you know, I never disrespected him. He knew, he held the household down while he was there. And then it was just like, he was gone, you know, because mm-hmm. he had to. So my second relationship, you know, was probably the one that was like the most detrimental, because, you know, it was my senior year, after I think about close to five years of being together. So lost my virginity to him and whatnot, but he became like a monster. Mm-hmm. He put his hands on me, one time. Wow, I don't think I ever share that with my mom or anybody, but he put his hands on me one time, and that day when he put his hands on me, I had to tell his mom, because he took my phone and he launched it. He thought I was texting another dude in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he was mad at me for whatever reason. So he launched it like four houses down. He's like screaming at me. He's like he's pushing me on my stuff, on my purse, flung out everything on the ground. I'm like, please, like, stop. So I had to get his mom, and his mom could barely tame him. And I was just like, this is like weird. And like, after some time of, you know, well, obviously he went to a different school. We hung around the same circle at my school. And I found out that one of his really good friends was like, yeah, no, I don't respect anybody that puts their hands on a mama. And I was like, what? Like, so I found out later on that he was abusive. He didn't have a father. He was also a thug. That was like my thing that I liked, you know? Right. And so it was, that was very hard for me. But then transitioning and going into school, UNC, I, you know, was able to kind of escape and like not have to deal with that anymore, right? It's like new phone, who this? And so then that relationship too, because my sister used to make fun of me and be like, you're just a monogamous dater. Like, all you want to do is just like date and just stay with somebody. And I'm like, ain't that the goal? I must have had it mixed up. I don't know. But and so, and he, of course, you know, still kind of in that me being so in that not young, naive mindset. When I transitioned to college, he's the guy in the club that, you know, has his shirt off and he, you know, singing Young Jeezy and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, I found him. And it's like, and of course, you know, with women, we know what we're capable of. All you have to do is really look at somebody and bat your eyes and guys will come over. So of course, naturally we started dating. But he was disrespectful. Like, it was just like, and so he cheated on me and so did my other two boyfriends. And so with that cheating, it brought up such a guard of like, I mean, me and my childhood best friend would want to just, we just dreamed of like, oh, I can't wait till we get married. We can cook and clean and we can just have a good time. And, you know, now it's like you say that, it's like, girl, what? Like, you know, and so it's just like a, I don't know. And so when I came into, I had got out of that bed, I ended up studying abroad. And I stayed in London for 6 months. And that was probably the best thing that happened to me because when I came back, that's when I met Matt. And ironically, me and Matt were in a class together. We were in AFRI 101. It was summer school, like, what was it? Maybe like junior year going, I mean, I'm sorry, sophomore year going into our junior year. And I was dating my ex at the time, mind you, he got kicked out of UNC for drugs and went to like a whole different thing. I was like, Rihanna, what is going on? He was the first guy I we're 15 minutes early to class. And like, he's very punctual. And so
my guy, that's my type of guy right there. That's my type of guy.
Very punctual. Don't do that to us, bro.
Very punctual. Like, we got to get here at this time. Okay, 15 minutes, we're ready. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, we still got 15 minutes. So I just happened to be very punctual that day too. So I patted myself on the back. But I walked in and he was the first guy I laid eyes on. And like, whoo, sparks flew. And then I was just like, oh, you got a boyfriend. And then I just, and then I went to the front and I'm one of those like, I'm low key a nerd, so yeah, I am. I graduated what top 10 in my class at high school and all that stuff. So I sat in the front and never looked back at him again. And then I was just like, okay, whatever. But when the day I decided in London, because my ex was just tearing me down, and I was like, I'm not doing this no more. I'm just gonna. Like, when my switch goes off for people, it's off. But it takes a while before my switch goes off. And so when then after that, Matthew was the first person that I just said, I'm just going to wish everybody a happy birthday, whatever day it is. And I went on his birthday, on his day. It just happened to be a day. And I was just like, happy birthday. And then it was just his.
And here I thought, I'm like, oh, she remembered me. Oh, like, this is over like a year and some change has been in the time lapse of, since that class together. And then this is when she wrote me on my birthday. So she writes me on my birthday, you know, happy birthday, a little heart next to it. I'm like, oh, she must have, you know, remembered me. And here she didn't. It was just the Most High. That was the Most High working and putting us together. And so I thought that was an extra sign because all I'm looking for with really a woman at this point, I you know, most of the football players out there, you know, be a man whores, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I wanted to find my wife. Even though there was nothing around me, I wanted to, you know, find the one, like I always say, I want the everlasting gobstopper. I don't want a piece of chewing gum. I want the one that's going to give me fulfillment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how that ended up popping off. And then I sent her a message saying, oh, I see you living up in London. You know, let's hang out when you get back.
My dumb behind's like, how's he know I'm in London? I'm like, oh, you changed everything on Facebook. Like, quit playing stupid. And then when I came back, this is how the Ruach works, is that I literally, because my mom, she knew when I told her I was done with my relationship, she was just like, okay, like, I'm not going to give me a pushback, whatever. She might have been a little happy. And I got a new phone. Mm-hmm. She, as soon as I touched down from the airport, she picked me up. She gave me a new phone, new number. And my best friend, nobody was the first person I text. It was him. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I was just like, wow. I said, hey, this is Bree. You know, here's my number and everything. And then when we got back to campus the next semester, I was just like hanging out with him, you know. And then our conversation, like in person, was like so deep that I was just like, it's crazy.
So Matt, how much patience did you have to have bring her? This is exactly what I wanted right here. Thank you for edifying me on this issue.
Well, however much patience you think, you got to triple it. Yeah. And that's probably a minimum. I mean, man, that is the key word, is patience and endurance and perseverance, man. Like when I say that, it is not easy. Not easy. Probably one of the hardest things I've done in my life. And I mean, you know, quick little note that I walked on to UNC. I gave up my full scholarship where I was at Rhode Island because I felt I could play Division I football, and I knew I could. So I gave that up and went on to UNC and earned my scholarship. And
with the patience, baby.
Oh, patience, yes. Mm-hmm. So with that walk-on process, being treated pretty much like a second-class citizen, I mean, we win a football game, I'm not allowed to eat with the rest of the team while the rest of all scholarship players get to eat. But, you know, once I became a scholarship player, I got to see, okay, all this. So that was a very long, hard process. And that was nothing compared to what we had to go through with just the transition of taking her out of the worldly mentality and transitioning into the spiritual mentality. And, yeah, like I said, there's some clawing, scratching, screaming that's going to go on. But as men, we literally have to be able to put that helmet on, buckle up the chin strap, and realize that we're going to have to take a hit or two. I don't mean physically or whatnot, but just realize that
our spirit, our Ruach, our pride, because again, as men of the Ruach, when we drop that guard that we have, because again, I'm, you know, the full armor, we out here in the world, we have to kind of carry that. But with our women, when we kind of get sensitive and drop the guard and show love, but then the woman may misconstrue that. And then
she comes back at you. She
comes back at you. Then now I'm like, well, I'm trying to show love. And now all I'm getting is kind of nails and fighting back. So then my Ruach wants to defend itself. And then I end up matching what she's giving me. And then all it is a spiral down. And now the whole fight becomes what I said, rather than about, well, I was trying to come to you correct. And I was trying to, you know, display a message. But, you know, you made it about me, or you turned it, and then it went sideways. So with all that, I mean, yeah, and it's not a quick thing. You know, that's another thing people need to realize is in this world, everything's sold to us just like, you know, get-rich-quick schemes, you know, take a pill, you lose mad weight.
Amazon now. You get it in 2 days.
So no one's built like the old way. And I was raised old school where you got to put that work in. You got to be able to, and the Most High, that's how he works. He wants to know. He's going to test you. He wants to know, you know, are you just saying you're going to walk this walk, or are you going to live it and actually go through it? And he knows your heart. So, like I said, I just knew that, and I'll quote my old coach, Coach Butch Davis. He said, this is one thing I'll never forget. He said, do not trade what you want most in life for what you want at the current moment. So trading what I wanted most in life was a marriage, a family, you know, follower of Most High. And what I wanted at the immediate aspect going through that turmoil was to feed my flesh. It was almost to give up. And I really was broken at a point. I did get broken to the point where the Most High, all due to him, showing mercy on me, and which he ended up punishing me on. I can go into that story as well. But through him, he broke me to expose my weaknesses so that he can then purge me and strengthen me into the man I am today. So that's what was needed for me. And then the Most High said, listen, I'm not going to do anything for you as far as working on her until I'm done with you. You have to be the man of the household. You have to be, you may think you got everything okay to an extent, but I know your heart. And I need anything that is not of me to be written out of you. And you have to be completely sound within me. And once that is done, I will work on her and I will deliver her to you as a submissive wife, as a woman. And sure enough, he do it, man. He did it.
So during that process where you guys were kind of arguing and trying to get through things, in the midst of that, how did you know for certain, like, okay, I'm going to marry this woman, regardless of the fights and arguments? How did you know I'm still going to marry this woman?
So I feel like out of the 12 years that we've been together, it's so crazy because we really entered the turmoil within the past.
It was after we got married, really.
It was really, it was literally after we got married. And because, like, if you think our entire relationship, I work on percentages. So 100%, 90% of our relationship has been Gucci, like, since day one, since we met. It was just that 5-10 that could, when it rocked, it was just like, dang, it rocked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things where it was just like trying to like shake it, you know? So I feel like, you know, it was really like, because we got married right before COVID hit in 2019. And then it was like 2020 is when it took a whole toll. Like it was really insane.
I have to elaborate on that. Yeah, so it was like almost like the enemy, well, not the enemy, the Most High was using the enemy to pretty much attack our spirits at that point in time.
That's like everybody in the world, right?
To weaken them. And then when you're weakened, your faults are going to come out. Your weaknesses are going to come out. And that was, I feel, a plan. So, you know, COVID's coming. You know, we're the ones. I'm not wearing a mask in stores. So I'm already dealing with people, you know, you know what? So you're getting attacked for believing in yourself and believing, you know, I wouldn't tell anyone else what to do, but you're not going to tell me at the end of the day how I need to live my life.
Yeah.
So that was an attack on our spirits for COVID. Then we moved in to our house and the HOA community. We found out the lady was stealing money from the entire community. We tried to stand up and because, you know, there's a lot of older people in our community. So we wanted to see, you know, everyone's property value continue to go up. And, you know, and we saw that there's a lot of wrongdoing being done in the darkness.
Very wrong.
So,
and it got me so emotionally invested, and I like dumped it on him.
And in the meantime, we're trying to do the right thing there, being constantly attacking our own neighborhood. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to help people.
Right. So trying to literally win over 100+ people, because we have over 100 homes, that, like, win them over to see that what I'm doing is right.
So then now you combine that with the transitionary period where, you know, we're starting to get into a lot of fights over just real small things. It's just really, it's a really respect thing. You know, how communication, it's like, you know, since my spirit has been bothered and attacked and weakened, now normally I'm very slow to get angry, very slow. And now I'm finding myself spiritually irritated where
he does one little thing and I'm like,
irritated really quickly.
Like, come at me, bro.
And that's the spirit.
Well, I'm gonna come. You know, like, that was my mentality, where I'm gonna come.
So I'm feeling my whole life like, dang, you know, I've been trying to do the right thing. I've been trying to do the right path. And it just feels like I'm just getting beaten down, getting nowhere. So to the point where, man, like in the bad years where I just felt like, and this is where I messed up. Most I had to teach me, because I felt like I went to my wife. I tried to communicate all the issues that were going on. I was trying to humbly, you know, fix things, and I wasn't getting anywhere. I was getting deeper. So I finally reached a breaking point where I needed to feed my flesh. I said, like, this, I can't do this anymore. Like, we were literally getting into deep, deep fights, and that were lasting days. And it was just the turmoil, the energy was just bad. So
nothing can ever even wreck anybody that much to where, you know, you're going to bed and you you're mad, and you wake up the next day and you still have that same feeling, you know, it's nobody wants that. No one desires that. It's such a wretched feeling that it was just like carrying, like it was legit, like a spirit.
It was. And then, so to that, I was broken spiritually at this point in time. And my mistake lied in the fact that I didn't go to the Most High to ask him to truly fix it. I was so broken that I just needed an immediate, I wanted my flesh to be resolved. And what that was having an adulterous heart. And to the point where I literally, like I said, there was this female at the gym that was working there. And she, this is how the enemy works too. She was a submissive type. She was very kind, very like, she knew, she was pretty much what I was looking my wife to be, as far as that soft touch, that's what I wanted at the end of the day and all that. So long story short, I ended up scheduling a thing where we were supposed to meet up at a hotel. And man, I do not say this proudly, I was 100% wrong in doing this. And I went all the way up to the hotel parking lot and I was waiting on her to show up. Mm-hmm. And she didn't show up. And she bailed on me last minute. And that was the Most High saving me, because he knew what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. He knew I would have likely committed that act of adultery. But regardless, I committed it in my heart because I showed up. So that was the turning point for me, in which I started to see after that. Because at that point, lustful, I'm a liar, because then I'm lying about where, you know, all these things. Lustful, a liar, I'm going off of my pride, and I'm going off of my flesh. So this is when the Most High had to start digging into me. And that's when I started out of nowhere getting a skin condition that I never had. It's like a psoriasis eczema that came really out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it was shortly after this whole hotel thing. And just to back up on that, how she found out about the hotel, let me tell you this story real quick.
Well, there's like most things
we gotta say. Yeah, we gotta.
We got time.
We're gonna keep it raw for you, because I just feel like, man, the best way for everyone to learn is just to share each other's experiences, man. Right. That's all we really had. Like you said, we're not in the old days of scripture where there's miracles being performed, and all we have is each other at the end of the day in this walk. Mm-hmm. So I just feel it's so important to truly just share our stories and not worry. Again, we're private people. The fact that I haven't disclosed most of this to within my family or my best friends. So no, the fact that we're doing this is all for y'all. Because y'all, he's propped me up where I'm again, private person. I have my close circle, but I'm not one to speak like this. Mm-hmm. So, oh, I apologize. I get a little passionate.
I'm with you.
It's that northern blood.
All right, so tell me about, where was I? I was at.
You're talking about the things that led up to me finding out.
Oh, finding out. So I didn't go. So I booked the hotel, but I didn't actually go in the hotel. So about a couple days later, I get an email from the hotel. Hey, we missed you. Like, what happened? You didn't check in. And I'm like, oh, dang. Because, you know, I know she goes through my stuff from time to time.
This is when I was, like, very heavy into that, which is also a demonic spirit that should not. Nobody should have that in them. Because he actually told me when things were actually, you know, getting better, was like, you're going through my stuff. Like, you're trying to find something. And then I'm like, no, I'm just trying to make sure. And then, but my heart was really trying to find something. And then when you seek, you will find.
Right.
You know, so, and it's just like, so I was waiting for, I was fine, trying to find, I was that anger and frustration. I was just ready to go for him, ready to get him.
So that email came through from the hotel and I'm like, whew, I'm glad I caught this now, because if she would have saw this would, I would have been done. I would have been outed. So I, you know, immediately confirmed that, yes, I did not go to the hotel. I did not show up.
No, I didn't.
Or no, I did not. But pretty much stop bothering me at the hotel. Don't send me another email again. And when I tell you, it was about 2 weeks later.
Within a month later,
my wife is on my laptop. And she's,
I was checking something for you. And he's doing the dishes. And he's just, you know, talking to me. We're just talking. And then the hotel emails them again.
While she's on my computer, and she,
what I'm looking for him,
it
something
popped up right in front of her face.
And I said, so of course my heart drops, and I'm like the fire's coming out of my eyes, my nose, my ears, just my mouth. I'm just like, all right, Madiahu, did you go to a hotel? And of course he said, huh? And I wanted to say, you know what I said, boy. But I was just like, did you check into a hotel? Because I'm like, that, huh? You better figure out the truth before you tell me a lie. And he did. He blamed it on his friend. One of his really good friends here. He said, oh, well, he didn't want to put it on his card because he didn't want his girlfriend to find out. And I was just like, and I said, are you lying to me? And he was like, no. And so I had to find it within me to bring it down, because in my spirit, I said, I know he's lying. Something's just telling me. Like, it's something about women. We have a great sense of discernment, but we just have to tap into it and know how to go about it. That's the key, is that the communication. Yes, you can be mad, you can be angry, but if I sit over here and start calling out his name and getting his face and trying to smack him and doing all this stuff and saying, I don't need you, then you're doing nothing but escalating the problem versus getting the answers and letting him have his guard down to where he can tell me the truth, creating that space to where it's not going to be, yes, sometimes the truth may hurt, but guess what? We get further, we get bigger blessings that come out of that than constant sins of lying and being deceitful and being all these different things that we shouldn't be, that we don't want, you know?
So going from finding out about the email, then me lying and what have you. Fast forwarding to where she, I don't know if there was like another conversation that happened.
I think we were in an argument.
And she essentially wanted to know, was I still talking to this girl from the gym?
Yeah.
And at that time, in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not currently talking to her, but in my heart, I'm like, well, it's still a possibility if I want it, you know, in that aspect. And she made me swear on a Bible that I was not currently talking to her. And when I did it, again, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm telling the truth because I really wasn't at the time, but my heart wasn't there. It was open to it. And I kid you not, as soon as I swore on it, the lights flickered.
The lights flickered in our office. We were in the office because that's where the Bible was. And I said, put your hand on this Bible and tell me that you swear you're not talking to any. You're not talking to her. You're not going to see her. And then he said, he put his hand on the Bible. Of course, he gave me lip and he was like, I swear. And then the lights flickered and we both kind of like noticed it, but it wasn't we didn't go off on a tangent about it. You know, I'm thinking it was because my grandfather just died like maybe a month or two before that. So I'm thinking it was like my spirit or my grandfather like saying, don't be arguing, don't be doing all this stuff. But like here in my head, gone in 5 seconds. It was nothing that was just like that really stopped the argument. But it definitely happened. And he was lying.
That's when my skin started, shortly after that aspect. And within a week or two of that, another thing happened where literally I'm on my way to walk our dogs out of my garage. And, you know, we're in Atlanta here. We're not in, you know, the backwoods aspect. This big 6-foot snake came up, was in the garage. It was black and yellow. So I thought it was poisonous because, you know, I don't see snakes on the regular. So I thought this black and yellow, I thought it was going to bite the dogs. But it was huge. And it was in the garage. And then it was on its way out. So I ended up killing it because I just didn't want the dogs to get bit or anything. But looking back, I'm like, oh, serpent coming to me when I was completely broken. I was in sin, lust, lying. And then here the snake happens to come into. And now, again, we live in a sidewalk community. There's not a lot of woods around. I don't know where the snake came from.
We've been in this house for 4 years.
Five now, but
at the time, it was like 3 or 4. Never seen a snake.
So the snake comes. And at the time, again, I didn't put two and two together. I'm still in my flesh and what have you. So another sign. And then my skin, it starts on my legs where it started small, And then it started getting, spreading much more. It went from my legs to my face, to my elbows, to the point where I'm literally embarrassed to walk out the house. I'm embarrassed to go to work.
It's red and it's itchy.
And when I say agony of itchiness, like to the point where, bro, I was just trying to survive each day. Like when
there were nights that we were laying in the bed and I couldn't even like hold him or touch him because he said it felt like 1,000 mosquito bites and that was just itchy. And he just like kind of lay like zombie in the bed. And I was like, that's honestly, I don't think I ever shared this with you, but that is when I honestly called out to Yahusha. And I was just like, because let's just be honest, you know, when he was being deceitful and lying to me, and I was just like, you know what? Whatever come your way, you deserve it. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. I was just like, you know, it's you know, you acting a fool, guess what? You make your bed, you later.
Right.
So, but that time, my heart was so incredibly softened where I was just like, man, like, I don't want this happening to him. I don't want him going through this. I don't want nobody going through this. Like, it don't matter how I'm feeling, because feelings come and go. But at the core of my heart, like, I just did not want that. I don't want nobody to go through any really badness or negativity or wicked things in this world. You know, even though we can sit here and say they may or may not deserve it or this, not the third, it's not up to us. It's not up to us. And so, and I realized that was make hardening me even more, bringing more of a guard up where I'm like, you know, I don't care. Mm. You know, having that mentality when I'm lying, I do care. Mm. So why sit over here in front, you know? And I feel like that has a lot to do with my past. That's why I brought it up. Because, you know, just a lot of, I feel like demonic spirits, you know, came from the past guys that I was with. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I carried it into this relationship. And it was just that 5-10% of our relationship that I was just like, cause I mean, Matt, you even attested to it when we first started dating, and I was just like, yeah, well, basically had a guard up of like, well, if it don't work out, then, you know, we can go our separate ways. And
she was always ready to like kind of jump ship.
And yeah.
I always kept saying, why are you always like,
yeah,
bring that up when we gotta be rooting this? You know, in this for the real love aspect, we shouldn't be talking anytime of a sign of trouble. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, oh, I'm gonna leave or whatever.
And that's where us women, we have to just look in the mirror and realize like, hey, I don't want to be cheated on. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want any of these bad things happening to me. But I had to look in the mirror and see that the things that are the reason why I was feeling that way and saying those things and being just, you know, snooty and snappy or whatever you want to call it, popping off at the mouth. Mm. It was because of the fact that I was hardened and guarded because of my past boyfriends, you know, of like, well, they did it to me, so all men must be the same, you know? And it was just like, or even, okay, he won't do it. And the moment he did it, it was just like, see, like, now I can't walk into it with the softness, the vulnerability. I can't do that because he's going to take advantage of it. He's just going to do me dirty. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to look into that. Do not get me wrong. It's very hard. And I'm not saying that, you know, I was an angel. There was, you know, some things that I'm not proud of in my past, you know, just the idea of, or not the idea, but the sin of fornication, you know, like it's, granted, I don't know what age people are doing it nowadays, but, you know, it was my senior year and I put my trust into him and he actually got me pregnant.
Mm.
Yeah. And because this is the man who put his hands on his mama, I was just like, I can't do this. And so I had an abortion. And that hurt me for years. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people can talk about this mess and just think it's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not... As far as like where I stand on, I don't want to get into politics and all that stuff, but it's one of those things of like that scarred me and I carried that because I was just like, I'm so wrong. I shouldn't have done this. You know what I mean? And I know, you know, some women can just talk about it and think nothing of it. And it's like, Bo, like you can't just do that like it's every other Monday. Like that's a very serious matter.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But that hurt that pain that I was carrying, where it was just like I carried it on. I'm just like, well, I will never allow that to happen again. And, you know, I just, you know, the next guy, you know, if he's not it, you know, I'm going to walk away from it. Then again, we try to do the long distance things with the first guy I dated, before Matiyahu. It was just like, I then put all my trust in and he cheated on me, like back. And I'm just like, so I say all this to say, as women, we go through so much and it's very hard for us as we realize all these things that harden us in our past. And it's like an unfortunate thing for like men, like, you know, y'all, where it's just like you have to essentially handle us with our baggage.
We got to pick up the slack for the
unrighteous men.
The weak men who have damaged our women, and which at this point it's almost impossible to find a woman who has not been damaged to this point.
Right.
So knowing that, as men in this walk now, we have to have that understanding that, okay, I'm going to undertake a woman who is damaged. And again, that's going to come with sometimes some clawing, some fight back, some things that you may not, as your spirit may not welcome or like. But that's where you have that patience comes in, to find that compassion from within to still stay rooted like Yahusha. When all the, you know, Pharisees and everybody's telling him, why are you sitting with the poor people? Why are you eating with the tax collectors and all this stuff? And Yahusha didn't get upset. Yahusha didn't, you know, he stayed cool, calm, and collected, and just was found that compassion. So as even though we're warriors as men, we have to find that real dig deep for that compassion to be able to undertake that hurt that these women have received through other men. So at the end of the day, often not men, even
unrighteous men. Yeah, and it sucks because it's on both sides. It's not to take away from men and their past, you know, and women and their. It's not to say one is more important than the other. But
y'all call men the head of the house.
Men are. That's what women need to sit back, just be quiet for a second, and accept that fact. There's nothing you can argue about with that, and it's okay. But again, like, it's hard for me because, you know, my mom, she has her own business in Fayetteville that's thriving. So she's very much like a modern woman. She is married. She's the breadwinner, though, and all that stuff. So it's one of those things where it's hard to communicate with just women in that realm, you know, where it's just like, where it's not like my mom, you know, has ever like judged me or said anything, but there are other women that will say, well, you know, I'm not in your situation. I don't have that. And it's like, so when, you know, you're met with that, like, just like as a woman, I'm just kind of like, I wasn't trying to compare anybody's situation. I'm here to just help you prepare for the situation you want.
Right.
And you can easily have what you desire. You just gotta shut that mouth. Like, that's it. Like, it literally, that's it. And it's hard because, you know, we're like, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what, yeah, we all been through it. You know what I mean? And I'm not taking away from that, honey. I'm not taking away from that. But I'm saying that if you want somebody to really be there for you, and to love on you, to be your protector, to be the head of the household, to lead you into the woman that you want to be, you know, then just relax and see that maybe he's been hurt because he's been hurt. And what man gonna be out here and be like, I'm hurt? No man gonna be like that. You know what I mean? Well, some men. Yes. But, you know, we're not talking about them because they don't want us. And so it's just one of those things of, you know, like, and but it goes both ways, where the men have to see, too, that it's okay to have that compassion for them. I know, you know, we all have been hardened and guarded over our lives. But that's why I said in the very beginning, it takes a very hard look in the mirror to be like, dang. I was not proud of that. I was like, well, it's really, you know, it was really this, you know, that really got to me. That came from my past and has nothing to do with him. But I don't want to explain that to him. I don't want to share that with him just yet because I don't think he's worthy of it. Stop with all of the overthinking and just be that's the hardest thing for people to do, is just to be, just literally just be right here, right now. And I promise you, if you be still, you will hear answers from the Most High, from Yahusha, HaMashiach. You will hear the right answers, but you have to be and stop fighting and thinking, oh, well, I have to, you know, make this money. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to find, oh, if he's not right, then I'm going to find somebody else. If she's not right, bye. Like, you got to stop with that, because guess what? That's going to lead you on a path of destruction and confusion where you are at. You know? So,
and the segue to that, to being still, went through my skin condition, it forced me to be still. Absolutely. Or I literally cannot go through a day without agony. So being still, that's when I found, like you said, your page, and I started to get into the walk, and we started reading Enoch, Jasher, Jubilees.
That was another thing I want to highlight, that is the fact that that was the first thing that really touched me, was when Matthew just bought the book of Enoch, Jubilees, and Jasher, and he said, we're going to read this together. I've never done that. I've never read, like, reading in class together. I'd be like, let me read on my own. And it's like, he was like, let's read this together. And I found out, too, that when he bought that book, he got it from you, Larry.
You put me onto it. Yeah. Okay. Earlier in your podcast, I don't know if it was from this batch or the one before this.
I think it might have been the one before.
Right. Yeah. I remember you talked about Enoch, Jasher, and Jubilees and everything in it. And that's when I got to learn about the 12 tribes. Ooh. You know, and I'm like, okay, these are the warrior men. Because, you know, in Catholic Church and what have you, you don't hear that. It's all about, you know, forgiveness, love one another. And you know, where's the...
It's the same thing.
Where's the men of, the, you know, men of Yah, the true men? You know what I mean? So reading that, that's what spoke to me. And I said, okay, this is the stuff. And then I'm like, there's a reason why this isn't in the King James Bible. This is in the church. There's a reason why they took these books out, which then started making everything kind of connect and work from there. But the bottom line was, yes, Larry, you know, through the Spirit has led us to you, and then through your work and you putting yourself out there, we have mad respect for you for just doing what you do on a daily basis, and it led us onto the path that we ended up, you know, being on.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you. I know Matt's, how he was disciplined or corrected. Have you found or have you sought after the correction and discipline that the Most High has given you? Have you been able to understand that?
Me?
Bree? Yes.
Yeah. 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 I was humbled.
Just went through it.
Oh, he tightened you up?
Yeah, yeah, he's so... Whenever,
literally within the last 2 weeks is the finishing of the process.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But let's go back to... I had went through a purging period when we were going through the whole, after COVID, the hard years that we went through. I actually, because my spirit was so entangled of like, okay, I want to be the woman he wants me to be, but you know, but I still have to come out. I still got to, you know, make a living. I still got to do all these things, right? And so one thing that started my purge was I crossed a sorority. And
what sorority? You better not say Delta.
No.
Oh, okay.
The first and the finest, you know, AKA. So
denounce that.
Yes. Yes. Great demon. And it's one of those things where, and I don't want people to think like when I say demons, I'm like coming off like some Bible banger or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. You have to realize that spirits walk this realm, this earth, this world. And it's very important. And if you can see that for certain things, but not this thing or that person. I mean, come on, when you get on social media, you can be so happy or whatever. And then the moment you see, I don't know what people get mad at, their friend traveling and all stuff. Oh, well, she don't like him anyway, or whatever the case, like that spirit attacks you. And it's like, now all of a sudden you go from happy-go-lucky to now I'm pissed off, you know? And I need to go out here and just post and, you know, make a subliminal message about this person or whatever the case may be. That's a spirit. That's not just you coming out of nowhere and you just thinking because you just want to think it. No, you were fine prior to getting on that and getting that, and spirit caught you and entangled you with that. that negativity, that wickedness. And so that's a lot of the reason I like literally had to go through my purge, is because I think this was like one of our like very, very, abrasive arguments. I just remember I was just screaming and this and the third, but I was just so conflicted within. And I know a lot of women can relate to this, and probably men, is when you're just so mad that you just start crying and you just don't know how to feel, and you're mad at this person and you're mad at yourself, and you're all these different things, all these emotions, when you can't contain it. And I remember I was just like screaming on the ground, and I was just like, God, like, I don't even know what I was saying. And it was shortly after I crossed, because I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I don't care. You know, I don't need you. This and the third, all these things I don't mean. I'm saying it because I'm angry and frustrated. And again, emotions come and go. And Matthew knew it wasn't me. He was like, this is not her. Like in the midst of this argument, like, how do you even come to that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like you're too busy arguing. Why do you know? But he knew, because we've been together. We put the work in. He knows, again, who I am. And he prayed over me. And immediately after he prayed over me, he was like, literally like, the stuff that scared me in church back then, that I feel like was, you know, the whole show and act. But like, he literally prayed over me and was just like, you know, basically, spirit be gone. Mm. And the moment he did that, I ran to the bathroom and threw up.
Wow.
It is scary. Like,
he put his hands on you, and then
put his hand on my back. I'm on the ground, like a fetal position, like screaming. Mm. And he put his hand on my back and said, spirit be gone. And I, like, it was probably within 30 seconds to like a minute and a half that I went to the bathroom, and I was just like, it was crazy. And I mean, I can't make this stuff up. Like, you know, it was crazy. So that was like the first of my purge. And then we went into, we started to make grounds as far as like moving forward in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had some things, you know what I mean? But it was,
we were progressing.
Thank you, baby. And so it was one of those things where, you know, after we got to this point in our lives just now, this past May, we have found out that we were pregnant. Hmm. And
well, even back up to that point where, you know, up to this point, you know, Bree actually brought the scripture to me, and I didn't, do you remember what scripture it was?
I still have to find. No, I don't recall. But
was it from Set Apart Sarah?
No, it wasn't from. It was no. I came across it when I think I was just like searching like random Bible verses, and it's basically it was the spilling of the semen.
Okay.
And so that was the one thing that, you know, which, you know, makes sense, because if you read all of the scripture and you see all these stories, all these different stories, you know, no one's really out here just fornicating. But when you fornicate with that woman, that's your wife. That's like the fornication is the marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was, you know, that's what kind of made me lead into it, because I was just like, well, I want to know deeper about like these different sins and these different things and stuff like that. And so I came across the spilling of the semen, and I was like, and then like, you know, Elohim killed him. And I was just like, oh my gosh, is this terrible? Should you not spill semen?
Like, so she told me this, and I'm like, woo, my pull-out game is a decade old over here. So I'm like, whoa.
Sorry to be so graphic.
Yeah, TMI, mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, like I've been sinning I've been unknowingly sinning for years. And here, you know, I'm trying to, we went to the Most High and I repent. And I said, you know, Most High, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, if you had it in the works for us to have a seed, And here I'm taking control of not allowing that to happen because of my own selfish reasons. Because I, you know, at the time I'm thinking, well, this world's going crazy. Like, you know, why would I want to bring, you know, a life into it? And the synchronicity, because you just did a podcast around that time that happened to talk about like, men, like, don't be afraid to have children. Like the righteous need to be on this earth. And when you did that podcast is after we found out we were actually pregnant. Nice. So after that, we went to the Most High and said, pretty much Most High, we're going to give it to you. And we will do the way of the scripture. And if it's meant for us to have a seed, then you'll bless us with one. And sure enough, shortly after that, she finds out she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that was, like he said, we came out of this 2 weeks. That was very hard because, let's see, in July, we found out we had a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I mean, I just shared with you a lot, like, you know, about my past and all this stuff. And so I was just like, it was very hard once again to pull that mirror out and say, well, Brianna. And the one thing that I guess, like, all the women, you know, when I, shared with them about it and everything, the one thing that was so shocking to them, but was so, if I had not went through everything that I went to up until that point, I don't think I would have been able to come to this. But there was acceptance in my spirit. That was the first thing that was like, okay, Most High, I'm not gonna question this. Yahushua, you know, I've cried to you, and you know, I'm not going to say, is it because of this? Is it because of that? You know, this, it's just, you need to accept this. Mm. And, you know I was unrighteous and back in the day, even no matter how much I say, well, I've always such a big heart and everything, which I do. I love very hard. And I just feel like I've always been misunderstood. Similar to what you were saying, Larry, it just hit my spirit where I was just like, this is like me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always being misunderstood, but like, I like, you know, but I love so hard. And so it was just kind of like, okay. And the part that I was having issues with was the emotional and physical, because again, TMI, but I took the natural route of my miscarriage, and I bled for over 50 days.
It was,
and when I tell you, whoo, won't he do it? He, like, literally, I just came into, like, the passing within the past 2 or 3 weeks of it all, like, when it stopped. And the craziest thing, again, I can't make any of this up. And this is, I truly feel like there's a reason why we're sitting here talking to you, talking to your audience. And when we were going through it, you know, I just needed to get out of the city. I was like, I need to get out of here and get out of here. So, you know, we went to our family's beach house in Florida, and it was, you know, it was great, you know, but it was almost like too soon, I guess you could say, or like it wasn't the fulfillment we were looking for, but not we were looking for, it didn't fulfill our spirit completely, entirely. And so then took some time off and everything, and we actually, Matt took us to Mexico, and when we were there, I was just like, oh, you know, like, all right, like, you know, we're just gonna keep going and everything. And I just woke up one night, and I was just like, or like very early in the morning in the rising, and I was just like, man, I'm so sick of this. I don't,
the frustration, the reminder
of it. You know what I mean? It's just like, gosh, like, and Matthew is such a great coach, man. Like, he's a great head of the household, a great man. But like, he's also my coach where, like, I woke him up. I mean, it's like, what, 5, 6 a.m. And he just said, take this to Yahushua. Take your time. Talk to him. Give it all to him. and stop trying to control this. We're not putting this in man's hands. We're not like, I'm like, should I go to the doctor? I just don't know. Blah, 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 blah. And I tell you what, Larry, when I went out on our balcony and I literally just looked at the ocean and I just cried and I just let it all out. I fell to my knees. I prayed to Yahusha. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like most of me coming into this truth, I prayed a lot to Yahuwah and not Yahusha, the Most High. And I was like, and it took me some time actually to even, as I all through my walk and everything, to even acknowledge that he had a son. Mm. And I was like, oh no, I just believe in the Most High. I don't believe in, you know, the Messiah. Why would I do that? Like, you know, it doesn't matter. Mm. And the moment I, you know, took it to him, and I kid you not, the next day, my cycle came on. And it was very different than what I was experiencing. And I'm sure any women out here who've experienced a miscarriage is that type of bleeding is different from, you know, your cycle every month. And I was like, I think my cycle's coming on, Matt. And he was just like, really? And he was like, you know who that is. You know who's doing this for you. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
7 days later, the cycle stopped.
Stopped. I was healed. I kid you not. And I feel like, you know, we talk about this all the time. And I think the hardest thing that people in this world, in this walk, especially for like unbelievers, is the submission. Yes, we talk about women need to submit, but men have to submit. We all have to submit. And it's one of those things that because we're so afraid of the unknown or the uncertain, or we don't like, well, if I can see that computer over there, I need a new computer. Let me go and buy. I can just buy it. I can save up and just buy it. Right. You know, it's just like, but you have to literally, I mean, walking around every day in this system that we live in of just going to work and getting in your car, anything can happen. And I think that people don't realize that because they're so caught up in the matrix of like, I'm just doing what I have to do to just make a living, right? Unfortunately, yes, we are in the system. But at the same time, the same way you put your faith into the system, how can you not put your faith into the Most High? How can you not give it a chance? How could you not just read scripture or even just try, but you're going to tell me about it, but you've never opened it, you know? And then you get mad when I correct you, say, oh, you're just a Bible banger. You're just this, you're just that. Or I don't really care about that. You know, I just think we just die and go nowhere. And it's like, it's such a wall that I feel like sometimes like just up against. And I don't know. It's really unfortunate because it's like, you really, if you just try, like, what can you lose?
Right.
But most importantly, what can you gain by trying? And it may happen right there. It may not. But you can try for this relationship that's toxic, that may or may not be for you. You can try on Tinder and Bumble and all sorts of stuff. You can try all these different things, but you can't try to read one book of scripture. You can't just read a chapter a night. And if you need help interpreting this, there's so many people out here who will help you. Mm-hmm. If I don't know a word in scripture, I'll easily pull out my phone, just like everybody pull their phone out, and go to Google and just Google what the word means. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's people, I feel like, complicate things because they're so caught up in themselves. It's this inner confliction that it's just like, be still, be quiet, pray, read, and just see where it takes you. That's all you gotta do. Dang, if that ain't easy as 1, 2, 3, then you sitting over here trying to, you know, fix this. I gotta go buy that. I gotta go do this. You know, you putting all your effort into what doesn't matter.
Right. And Matt, so you already took away my closing statements, but Matt, what would be your word of advice? Because Bree had excellent word of advice for all women who are either single, in relationships, and not yet married yet, or courting. it was perfect, was right on. For the men's side of it, Matt, what do you say would be an inspiration, or what word did you have for guys who may not be looking for a wife, but eventually we all going to be wanting wives? Like Most High said, it's not good for man to be alone. So we eventually will have to meet our mates. So what would be your advice?
My advice would be for us men is the only place to start is in that mirror. In that mirror, looking at yourself first, asking, even if you think you got it all together, you don't. At the end of the day, none of us do. So looking in that mirror and humbly, you know, asking the Most High to reveal your weaknesses, for them to come out so they can be purged and strengthened, because you have to be built to lead before you can actually lead. So if you don't have yourself right, you're not going to be ready when you do find your wife, and you're going to maybe misinterpret some things because you haven't fully purged what you needed to purge within yourself. So I think it's important for men, because again, it's easy to point the finger. I get it. You know, with the circumstances of what men are facing with, you know, the modern woman aspect, I get it. It's a different scenario, but we have to rise above that as men. Like I said, Most High built us differently. He made the woman from our rib. So we have to be able to be a man about that and just be sure that we try to do everything within our power to be the righteous man that the Most High made us to be. And with that comes that compassion and love. Because again, He already made us hard on the exterior. We can fight when we need to fight, but we know how to love. Right. And that's where I had to learn. Like I thought I knew how to love, but I was missing that soft touch. And then once I got that, man, it brought me down to a different level of I can show that compassion, I can show that love. You don't misconstrue it as simping or being a welcome mat, or I'm not going to let this woman walk all. It's not about letting her walk all over you. You can come to her with respect. You can come to her cool, calm, collected, compassionate, and articulate your message. And if she doesn't receive it that well, all right, let her kick and scream, but don't allow yourself now to match her. Mm-hmm. So that's where my best advice would be, just to continue to work on ourselves. Because everything else, I promise you give it to the Most High, He will see you through it. And as long as we're willing to cling ourselves to Him and His Son Yahushua, he will see you through at the end of the day. And what you want, you will get.
What did you play? Was it basketball or football?
Football.
Okay. See, bro, it'll never fail. It's something about our spirits when we got training days and tour days. It's just we approach every issue like it's a game, or like we prepared, and we forget to have that soft touch. I be, even with my daughter sometimes, I gotta like ease back sometimes. I be like trying to give her the attaboy and come on, man, you better come out in this heat and let's do this.
100% right, man. And again, that's just kind of how Yah built us. He strengthened us. He put us through, you know, sports and other things in our life that made us who we are. And that's great for the man aspect. But then there's that other component of that man leading a household and loving his wife and loving his children, where we have to even still being hard and still being, hey, man, we're ready to go to war if we need to. But at the same time, can show that love at the same time. So that's where it's a skill that only the Most High was able to give me, because I didn't have it beforehand. Mm.
So you guys still working on having your first, having your first child, or so where are we at with that?
So that's literally, we're giving it to the Yah at this point. Okay. Because, you know, there was a long process of going through it. And, you know, Bree, you know, we couldn't even really think about the future, just getting through what we were going through. And of course, our families are beyond ready for the grandchildren. So of course they want it now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we wanted to take it to Yah, because I did the same thing that you actually had told us to do back in, I think it was during the Day of Atonement, when we did it. You know, we afflicted ourselves, and I prayed to Yah, and I said, Yah, you know, reveal my mission to me, you know, reveal my mission to me, because I just, you know, my life, as far as, you know, being a worker and what have you, doing the normal systematic way of living, it's not fulfilling. I know this isn't, my job does not define me or what have you. So I just needed Yah to show me, like, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? And literally it started with my friends, of just trying to, when I see things here and there, again, I don't come from a place of a pedestal speaking down to people. I just see if there's an area where I can just lend some type of little bit of advice or a little bit of correction and a little plant, a little seed, I'll do it. So I started to do that. And then next thing I know, you know, your raffle came up, and I said, "Well, Most High willing, if it's not for me to speak, you'll pick me." And sure enough,
And it's definitely, this episode has definitely been a blessing. I wish I could do I'm gonna do a part two, but my part two is gonna be when you guys wanna come back and tell me you're pregnant. That's what's gonna be part two. Because the way it's sounding right now, after these situations that happen between you two, and then somehow we are connected through that way, I really hope that the Most High really blesses you guys with your first child right after this show. It'd be such a blessing to have you guys on, and we can talk about it, and we can just show everybody how much of an inspiration everybody, all of us are. We all have a story. We all have a path that's going right to the Most High. We're able to say hi to each other while we're on the same path. And I think it's really hard for the people in this world because they don't know where they're going. They're literally all over the place. They have no aim and stuff like that. So it's
but you
great.
Can't tell them that.
And you can't tell them that, right. You can't tell them they ain't going nowhere. Like, it's, you know, I'm going somewhere. All right, fam, where you going? So yeah, it's great that, you know, we pull in more and more people to our walk, and I it's been a blessing to really have you guys on. I really wanted this show. I'm so glad, Bree, you actually got on the show, even though you didn't have the number. You still got on the show the righteous way. you had a righteous man to help you. So
there we go, through my covering. So
it's definitely been a blessing. I thank you guys for coming on to my show.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Seriously, humbly, thank you for, again, all that you do, and continue to fight the good fight, brother.
For sure. We'll keep in touch. We'll keep in touch.
Yes. Sounds good.
All right, see you guys.
All right, man, have a good one.
You too.
Shabbat shalom.